So John chapter number 18, we've been taking a look here in this chapter, and as we got into chapter 18, and you see there, number 12, which is where we're going to pick up today, it's almost like I'm going back in the chapter because last week we were a little bit further on. And I did that because of just the way that the events unfolded. I wanted to make sure that we looked at each of the characters in this passage. So we're going to take a look now, starting here in John chapter number 18, verse number 12, at a failure of a friend, the forsaking failure of a friend. Look with me here in John chapter number 18, verse 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret I have said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. We're going to take a look at Peter's denial here, and we're going to try to draw application to us today. Because when we come across a failure such as this, our eyes often just focus in on the one that failed. But we need to understand that there's a lesson in here for us to apply to our lives as well. Father, bless now the reading of your word. Father, as we commit our hearts and our minds to you during this time, Father, teach us what we need to change in our heart. Teach us what actions we need to change in our lives so that we may not be guilty of denying you. Father, we love you, and it's in your Son's precious name that we pray these things, and for his sake, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We need to understand what is involved when we come across a passage or a failure such as this. We look in the Old Testament, we see failures of Abraham, we see failures of David, we see failures of Gideon, we see failures all through, in and out, the scriptures of some of these men who are referred to as giants in the faith. And we find here with Peter, we find such a failure. But we need to understand what's involved in this, else we too may fall into the same kind of snare. Many of us would not think of ourselves as capable of such a failure. I venture a guess, anyone who is perhaps here and claims Christ as their Lord and Savior, many of us would maybe put out there that I would never deny Christ. I would never, if I was in Peter's position, if I was standing around a fire of a bunch of folks that were asking, aren't you one of his disciples? I would gladly say yes. I would not be in a position like he would. I would not allow such a... Now, hold on. We got to be careful. Because while many of us would love to be able to say that would never happen to us, we've got to be cautious that you and I have the same type of potential of denying the one who died for us, denying the God that saved us. We have the exact same type of potential. And here's how we get into it, is if we start down the same slippery slopes that Peter did. You know, we think to ourselves, okay, you know, it's one thing maybe, Pastor, for us to deny Christ. I mean, but Peter saw Jesus. Peter was with Jesus. Well, you and I have the same potential, because understand something. We sang about it just a little bit ago, since Jesus came into my heart. If we are born again by the Spirit of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, then you and I have tasted. And we have no excuse. So what we want to do today, I want us to look at this, and I want us to see how we could fall into this trap just as easily should we deny the possibility of failure, should we develop a pattern of rejecting help and relying on ourselves, and should we surround ourselves with influences that point us away from the direction of Christ? We're going to take a look at this, but I want to look closer at this denial. And guys, I don't know if it's just me, but I am loud. If I can hear myself, I know they're cringing. Let's look denial in the other Gospels as well. Go back to the book of Matthew, chapter number 26. Matthew chapter 26. And let's see what takes place here in Matthew's Gospel as he records what took place. It says, now Peter in verse number 69, Matthew chapter number 26, verse 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. Mark that. That's an interesting thing we're going to take a look at here in a moment. Again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. In other words, betrays thee. Then again he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Flip over to the book of Mark. Flip over to the book of Mark, chapter number 14. Mark chapter 14. And look at verse number 66. Mark 14, verse 66, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth, but he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew, and the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, there that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the words that Jesus said unto him before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went. And when he thought thereon, he wept. I want you to know what takes place there. You see in both Matthew's account and in Mark's account, you see this verse number 71 there in Mark chapter 14. He says, he began to curse and to swear. Now, this doesn't mean that he started cussing. Our mind automatically goes to, oh, so he started cussing, maybe to prove, or when we hear like he started to swear, he started to curse. Well, that means that Peter started cussing. And so he had that kind of language. It must be okay for me to have that kind of language. What it's saying. And no, it's not okay for you to have that kind of language. Let's go ahead and get that one out of the out in the open. When it says he began to curse and to swear, word is the Greek word anathema, the root word anathema, which is the same word used of Paul in Galatians chapter 1, where it says, that if I or anyone else speaks a different gospel, let us be accursed. In other words, it would be better for me not to have even been born if what I'm telling you is wrong. And so he started to invoke a curse upon himself. It kind of you know how kids do it, cross my heart and hope to die, stick a needle in my eye, you know. This is the type of mentality that Peter's bringing to the table here. He says, no, I don't know Jesus. As a matter of fact, let me be cursed. Let me be. He got to that point. Just let me be anathema. Let me be completely, just let me die if I'm telling you, if I'm lying, I'm dying. And this is the kind of statement that Peter's making here. So it's not just I don't know him. It's vehemently, I don't know him and don't accuse me of knowing him. I don't have anything to do with that guy. I swear I don't. That's the place that Peter had come. So let's not get this cute picture in our mind. Let's understand what really took place here. Peter didn't just deny Christ. He disowned Christ. I don't have anything to do with the guy. Him? Psst, whatever. Now, again, before any of us get all high and mighty, well, I would never deny Jesus that way. I want to take a look here. Let's put ourselves in his shoes, because we can easily point a finger at Peter for his denial of Jesus. We can shake our heads and wonder why anyone would have acted the way he did. But let's look at the truth of the situation before we get on our pedestal and start looking down. You see, whenever someone falls, we tend to only see the fall. We don't take the time to look at what led up to the fall. Go back, we're here in John chapter 18. Go back with me. Keep your hand in Mark, or stick a piece of paper or something in Mark chapter 14, because we're going to go back there a little bit later. But look here in John chapter number 13. And let's take a look. Let's take a look here at something. As you're turning there, as we examine the situation of Peter, put yourself in remembrance for just a moment. Peter was with Jesus. He witnessed Jesus. He saw the humility that Jesus had exuded. He witnessed this humility, the complete and utter reliance on God. If you've ever never done the study, I encourage you to do a study on the prayer life of Jesus. Just look at the prayer life of Jesus. But he witnessed this. Peter witnessed this. All who have truly been saved have also witnessed the humility of Christ. Let me explain what I mean by that before we go into this, because I think it's pivotal to understand this, to see where we can often go wrong. When we understand the humility of Christ, stooping down to our level, get that? Christ stooping down to our level, living the life that you and I could not live, to die the death that you and I could not die. When we see that humility in him, that should drive us to humility. Because I see how wonderful and how gracious he is, and I see how lacking I am. If someone has never come to that humility, that humble position where they see themselves as not sufficient and him as all sufficient, salvation never took place. Oh, come on, Pastor, don't give me that. Hey, the Bible lets us know that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And so when we understand and we see the humility of Christ and we take a page out of that and go, my goodness, because of who I am and all that I have done, he is so wonderful and it drives me to my knees. That's when we understand salvation. That's when we understand what he's done for us. That's when we understand our position and our need for him. Until we understand that, we're always going to be proud in our own works, proud of the way we do things, proud of how we live our life, and look at how good I'm doing. We need to understand our position. And when we have been humbled that way, we need to stay humbled that way. Here's the problem. Many of us, we have experienced that humility. We have experienced being humbled to the position of salvation. But then we move on. And we don't daily go back to that humble mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The whole passage is talking about humility of God. Now, with that in mind, let's look here in John 13. Look at John 13 here. Look at verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. You see him? I'll lay down my life. Do you think that Peter, honestly, the night that he betrayed or the night that he denied Christ, do you honestly think he set out and purposed to do that? Here he is. Now, Get the time frame. This is just a few hours before. I know we're chapter 13, chapter 18. That's not several days. That's a few hours. It'd be like you and I having a conversation right now, and then at 10 o'clock tonight, complete opposite side of the spectrum. Just a matter of hours earlier, Peter said, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down my life, thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto you, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied Christ. If you go back to Matthew 26 and Mark chapter 14, we'll see how Peter had argued with Jesus. And we talked about this back when we were in John chapter 13, how this wasn't a one-time conversation. This was an argument over and over and over and over. And that's why certain of the Gospels place it at the Last Supper. Certain of the Gospels place it in the garden that this conversation was taking place. This was not a one and done. Peter, a little bit later, brings it up again. What do you mean I'm going to deny you? Peter, you're going to deny me, man. I'll lay down my life for you. Peter, you're going to deny me. There's no way. Let me. And he even goes down the oath road again. If you look in Mark's gospel, he starts going down that road again. He says, no, I'll never. Everybody else will deny you. Everybody else will leave you. I will never forsake you, Jesus. And just a few hours later, I don't know the guy. I don't have anything to do with him. He honestly didn't think he would ever get to this place either. And if he would have been sitting in this this auditorium this morning, he would probably be saying the same thing. He said, "I'd never do that. I'd never deny Jesus." So we got to be careful before we start going down the road of, "I would never do what Peter did." You and I have the exact same potential, every single one of us. But here's the problem, is the first part of this is that we deny the possibility of failure. We deny the possibility of failure. He goes to the extreme to say he vowed that he never would do it. Good old Peter, he tends to jump from one thing to the next, doesn't he? A bit of a problem with rashness, so do we. As soon as we read a statement like this, we're like, "Oh, I'd never do." Well, yeah. We're a little rash ourselves. We must be careful that we do not lose the humility of the converted. Remember what we were talking about? That moment of salvation is a humbling moment. It's a time where we humble ourselves before a thrice holy God. We call on Him to save us, realizing we cannot do it ourselves. We cannot lose that humility. When we surrender ourselves to following Christ, there must be a humility involved there. Whoever comes to God must acknowledge who he is. And acknowledging this, we also realize who we are. But now understand something. Here's my first point for you. When we gain this understanding, we must make a concerted effort not to lose this mindset. However, pride is the direct is a direct affront to God. Any ounce of pride is an offense to a thrice holy God. So before any of us ever start to go down the "I would never" road, understand that in that proud arrogance, that's actually an offense. Because you and I have the ability to fall. 1 Corinthians 10 speaks to this. Let a man take heed lest he fall. Pride goeth before the fall. And so here's how we can prevent a fall such as this one, is humble ourselves in the sight of God. We got to recognize that we could do this too. We could fall right into this same trap. Now, understand that there are many who deny Jesus regularly. Many who do this by their action. And this is simply a pathway toward denying Jesus openly. You know, when we continue to live in sin rather than acknowledging that we have been made a new creature, rather than acknowledging the power that God gives to us, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, when we do that, we are denying Christ. How about this one? When I say, you know, I'm a child of God, but I can't stop, that's denying the power of God. So the Holy Spirit that dwells within you cannot help you overcome, cannot help you defeat, cannot help you become more than you are. The Holy Spirit of God, when the Bible says that faithful is he who called you, which also will do it, that's a lie. If God calls us to something, he will enable us to do that very thing. Yeah, but I, hold on, no yeah buts. Let's not go there. Yeah, you know, son, is your room clean? Well, yeah, but no. Son, did you get your room clean? But no. Yes or no? No. Are you living a life devoted to Christ? Yeah, but are you surrendering to him? Yeah, but not. It's a yes or a no question. Well, I'm doing pretty good over here in this area, but hey, here's the thing. I do the best that I can, yes. Am I perfect? No. Do I hope to be one day? I can't wait for that glorification to come. I can't wait. And I think this is kind of what Paul was talking about in Philippians, where he said, you know, I look forward to being with Christ, not so that I can get away from this horrible place, but so that I can get to be with him. Goes back to what he talked about in Acts chapter 7, where he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I do, I don't want to do. Here I am, O wretched man that I am. Most of us, though, we go, I'm doing pretty good over here, but I don't want to let go of this part of my life yet. Listen, we need to be honest and realize I am capable of a big fall. And the first step toward that big fall is denying I'm capable of a big fall. I'm walking so close to the Lord right now, Pastor. I tell you, this, you know, these past few weeks of my devotions have been so sweet. My prayer life has been so great. I just feel like nothing can wah. Remember Swaggart? About 2 weeks before his big fall, him and that skip across the platform he used to do. He said, devil, take your best shot. 2 weeks later, he fell. Why? Because he didn't think he could. Not me. I'll never deny Jesus. I'll never deny him. We got to be careful. We got to be honest with ourselves. Second, rejecting help from above. Rejecting help from above. You know, we reject God's way of doing things and feel that we know better so much, don't we? I told you to keep a hold of Mark chapter 14. Go ahead and turn over there again. Mark chapter number 14. And let's see what good old Peter did here as far as rejecting help from above. And this is, you could also maybe mark this one as a lacking prayer life. We sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. When's the last time you spent a sweet hour in prayer? Oh, we love singing it. When's the last time we've done it? Watch and pray. Look what he says here in Mark chapter number 14. Look at verse 32. Mark chapter 14. Actually, let's back up so that we get this in context. Go back to verse 29 so you know where we're picking up. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake, and the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also, he said, they all. And they came to the place which was named, Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him John and James and Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou will be what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. He said, here you go. Just had the conversation, right? You're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. You're wrong. You're going to deny me. Not me. Not this old boy. I won't deny you. Let's go pray. That's the way we are, right? We know we're getting ready to face something. It's like, oh, I really need to pray. And now lay me down to sleep. Hey, you Lord, you know what's going on. Help me tomorrow, will you? Amen. That's the way we handle our prayer life. Did you pray about it?
Mm-hmm.
How long? It's at least 3-4 seconds. Come on. Really? The spirit is willing. That's the part of us saying, I'll never deny you, Jesus, but the flesh is weak. That's the part of saying, I don't know him. And so guess what we need? We need help from above. You see, when we deny that we don't need anything because we're okay, what we start to do is we start to rely on our physical rather than. This is what we do. And many people, just like Peter, are relying on the physical over the spiritual. I've got a lot of stuff. I've got some really important things to do tomorrow, Pastor. I need you to pray for me tomorrow, Pastor. I need you to really honestly pray because I got some heavy stuff going on tomorrow, Pastor. Okay, God bless you, Pastor. I know it's late, so I'm going to go ahead and go to bed now because I need my rest for tomorrow. Jesus is getting ready to go through the darkest hour anyone has ever experienced. He's not getting any rest. He's spending time on his knees. And you read John's account in 18, it says he knew what was coming. Most of us would be like, oh man, this is going to be a real long, it's going to be trial after trial. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be abused. I'm going to be put on a cross. This is going to be a really rough set of hours. I better get my rest. I need to get some sleep tonight. Make sure I'm well rested before they come arrest me. That's what Peter was doing. Yeah, I'm tired. We need to spend some time on our knees, folks. Think about it for a moment. There's been times and I wake up in the middle of the night and bless her heart, my wife can't sleep if I'm not in the bed next to her. She loves me that much. I think she's thinking, well, is he doing something fun? I want to do it, you know. And I lay there, I wake up in the middle of the night. I mean, and it's not one of those you wake up and then you roll over and you go back to sleep. It's one of those you wake up and it's like, I know exactly what's going on right now. My eyes are wide awake, and I'll be laying there, and I'll be just kind of thinking to myself, "All right, Lord, I really would like to get some sleep right now. It's 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and those three kids are going to be up in just a few hours. Lord, really would appreciate some sleep." Is there something you need me to pray about? You see, what we typically do, we wake up at those moments and we roll over and we try to go back to sleep. We roll over and we try to go back to sleep. I wonder sometimes if the Lord's not waking us up going, watch ye and pray. Just get up, son. I need you to talk to me for a minute. You're getting ready. You know, it's amazing. I've had nights like that where I just could not sleep, and I laid there. Sometimes I would get up, and I would spend time just talking to the Lord. God, I don't know why I'm up this early. I don't know why, but God, I need to talk to you. And I just start praying about my things for my family, about my wife, about my kids. I start praying about my extended family. I start praying about, Lord, help me to be growing in this area and that area. And then you know what? Maybe, just maybe, that kept me from falling that day. Why are you sleeping? Can you not pray? Can you not watch for 1 hour? You know, well, Pastor, it's difficult to do anything for an hour. We can watch Netflix for hours on end. We can watch a basketball game or a football game for hours on end. There's some people that just enjoy a good book and they can sit down and read whoever for hours on end. We can eat for hours on end. We can't pray. There's people that'll bundle up and they'll sit in the stands at a football game with 4 feet of snow on them and ice crystals hanging from their nose and cheering their team on, but they can't spend 5 minutes praying. I'm on our knees, folks. God, if I do this, I might lose. Or God, if I do this, I might. We need to talk to him more. Look at the third thing here with me. Surrounding yourself with the wrong crowd. Here in John chapter number 18 again. This is my final point. We'll make some application. John chapter 18. Look at verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou one of his disciples, and said, I am not. Drop down, I'll just keep reading here, verse 26. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied him, and immediately the cock crew. Go back to verse number 18. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. He put himself in a position to deny Christ. You see where Peter is. He's not standing by Jesus. He's not even standing by John. He's just standing off to the side with the servants and the guards and the people that did not want to know Jesus. They want Jesus dead. That's where they spent their time. You know, had Peter placed himself in a position where he was standing with Jesus rather than standing with his opposers, perhaps he would not have been stirred to the point or afraid to the point of denying his Lord. You see, we find that it's easier to hide ourselves in the crowd of pagans than it is to stand with what's right. We do this often. Well, what's right? let's put it this way, and you know, agree with me. That's okay. Take it up with the Lord when we're in heaven. I can't stand with someone who thinks it's okay to kill a child when there's just part of it left in the womb. It's easier to just hide in the crowd than it is to step out and stand for what's right. It's easier for me to hide back over here amongst the fire and stand here and warm myself with people who don't have any association with Jesus. It's easier for me to stand over here and just be one of the crowd, just be one of the guys, just to hide out over here. It's more of a difficult thing for me to stand out and say, wait a minute, that's not right. Wait a minute, that's not right. That shouldn't be done that way. Hey, wait a minute. He is God. It's easier for me to stand off to the side, warming my hands around the fire, than to stand up when people are using his name in a blasphemous way. Excuse me, sir, would you mind not saying it that way? My kids are right over here. I really don't want them to hear their Lord's name taken in vain. It's easier for me to stand over here and warm my hands by the fire than to stand up in the workplace when people are talking about how everything's acceptable, everything's okay, and those horrible right-wing Christians have to ruin everything for us. Hold the phone! We're talking about holiness before God. And I'm talking about the God that loved me enough to die for me. It's not the same as Buddhism. It's not the same as Muslims. It's not the same. It's not the same. None of them had anybody that died for them. He died for me. It's easier for me to stand over here and go, yeah, it's okay. Those people are all right too. We're all just getting them to the same place. And to stand up for what's right and say, that's my God. And he died for me. And I'm going to stand for what's right. Boy, I got myself disheveled on that one. Might need to run a lap or two around the building, come back in and finish this thing. Understand something. When we deny the possibility, when we reject help from above, it's not like it's you get a ticket and you get to say, okay, hey, you get to pray between this time and this time every other Tuesday. Okay, well, I better make sure I make my scheduled appointment. No, it's you get to pray as much as you possibly want, all the time. And when we choose not to, guess what we're doing? We're rejecting the help from him. And Jesus told Peter, watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. Peter, you're getting ready to be tempted to deny me, son. Watch and pray. I wonder what would have happened if he'd have simply watched and prayed. This is why so many proclaiming Christians are willing to turn a blind eye. So much evil and injustice in this world. Look, I want you to take this seriously. I'm getting ready to close, but that doesn't mean, you know, get your coats ready, zip up your Bibles, and start, you know, talking to the person around you. Please just, I want us to be able to apply this because this is so important. So important. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus talks about how we, those who approve or those who confirm Christ, he will confirm before the Father. But he says that he makes this statement. He says, those that deny me before man, I will deny before my Father. Confessing does not mean I put on a t-shirt or slap a bumper sticker on my car. Confessing Christ means aligning yourself with him. Confessing Christ means I put myself out there and say he and he alone is sufficient and I don't care who knows it. I'm in love and I don't care who knows it. What about the general public in applying this with the general public? Think of the influence that Peter could have had on the others. Standing around that fire, and the girl says, didn't you walk with Jesus? Yeah, and he's the Son of God. Think of the influence that he had. Did any of them, I wonder, Peter is going to be preaching in just a few days. I wonder if any of those people rejected the message of salvation because of seeing Peter around this fire. How does this apply to the local church? This should remind us that we should emphasize prayer. We should emphasize relying on Christ. We should emphasize iron sharpening iron. Recognize that we too could fall. So I'm going to spend as much time around him and his people as I possibly can. How do you apply this to your personal life? Ask yourself, are you opening yourself up? Are you opening yourself up to this slippery slope? Well, I wouldn't deny Jesus. Well, it's not that big a deal, Pastor. Nobody's going to come to me tomorrow. And we need to be careful with stuff. Ask yourself this. What about the non-believer? You know, we use this phrase, this statement often, and I'm going to close with this. We use this statement often that your life may be the only Bible people read. What message are they receiving? What message are they receiving in reading you? The message that they received from Peter that night, he's not that important. Jesus isn't all that he's cracked up to be. What message are people receiving when they read your life? I want you to understand something. Yes, yes, we deny him, he will deny us. But we confess him, he will confess us. Get this. Peter was warned. You're going to deny me 3 times, son. And God takes denying him seriously. Peter denied him, even invoking a curse on himself. And yet, Jesus forgave. If there's hope for him, there's hope for all of us. So don't just see the failure of Peter. See what led up to it. And then see the God that forgave it. Hallelujah. What a Savior.